भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 7, Text 37. Chapter entitled, Indra Offends Brihaspati. Tatapina pratir bruyam Guru bhi paratim kiyad Bhavatam Pratitam Sarvam Pranair Artaischa Sadaye Tatapina Pratibruyam Guruvi Pratitam Kiyad Bhavatam Pratitam Sarvam Pranair Artaischa Sadaye. Mataji's, please. Pratitam sarvam Artaischa sadaye Tatapi Still Na Not Pratibruyam I may refuse Gurubi By persons on the level of my spiritual master Pratitam request kiyat of small value bhavatam of all of you pratitam the desire sarvam whole pranai by my life artai by my possessions Cha also Sadaye I shall execute. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. All of you are my superiors. Therefore, although accepting priesthood is sometimes reproachable, I cannot refuse even a small request from you. I agree to be your priest. I shall fulfill your request by dedicating my life and possessions. So there's no purport. We'll read the next translation and purport for text 8, 38. I'll just chant the Sanskrit myself. Sri Badra Narayanir Uvacha Tebhya Evam Pratishrutya Vishwarupa Mahatapa Paurahityam Vritaschakre Paramena Samadhina. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, after making this promise to the demigods, the exalted Vishwarup, surrounded by the demigods, performed the necessary priestly activities with great enthusiasm and attention. Purport. The word samadhina is very important. Samadhi means complete absorption with an undiverted mind. Vishwarup, who was a most learned brahmana, not only accepted the request of the demigods, but took their request seriously and performed the activities of priesthood with an undiverted mind. In other words, he accepted the priesthood not for material gain, but to profit the demigods. Such is the duty of a priest. The word pura means family and hita means benefit. Thus the word purohita indicates that the priest is the well-wisher of the family. Another meaning of the word pura is first. A priest's first duty is to see that his disciples benefit spiritually and materially by all means. Then he is satisfied. A priest should never be interested in performing janashmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamate Swamini Iti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pachyatya Destarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gaurav Bhakta Vanda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So this is a very interesting chapter. Bhagavatam is always showing us what to do and what not to do simultaneously. And Bhagavatam is also always showing the superior religious principles. That's why it's called Amalam Puranam. It's spotless. Because, as we know, most of the religions, they focused on the details, not the essence. But Bhagavatam especially is focusing just on the essence of all the religious principles. And it's very amazing to see the things we discuss, nobody else discusses. Who in the world is discussing like Vaishnava etiquette and all these things? Nobody does. It's so subtle, Vaishnava etiquette. And we do because we care. It's personalism. It's Krishna's feelings. So we care and we want to learn and we want to follow. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, who is Krishna himself in the role of his devotee, he said the Vaishnava etiquette is actually the ornament that makes a devotee beautiful in the eyes of Krishna. It's a very profound statement. So Vaishnava etiquette means how to treat people according to their position, according to their level. Prabhupada explains, the Vedic culture is so nice that even an enemy comes to your home, you treat him so nicely, you welcome him so nicely with sweet words and water and seed, that he should even forget that he is actually your enemy. Or he forgets that he is your enemy. So this is the Vedic culture. So Krishna is actually using Indra. Indra is actually a great soul. Just to be part of Krishna's pastimes, it's unbelievable. But Krishna is using Indra just to teach us what not to do. It's a thankless task Indra is doing. He's showing us what not to be like. And also, when we read this chapter, it sounds like, you know, that Brihaspati is on an ego trip or something like that. You know, just such a great person. But, you know, just because Indra didn't get up, you know, he disappeared and caused so much anxiety for Indra. But Prabhupada explains this is actually pure mercy. Pure mercy. Just like when Narada cursed the sons of Kuvera, Prabhupada explains how he was for the benefit of Nalakura and Manigriva. It was not out of envy or ego or anything like that. So the spiritual master and the devotees, Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, they're always looking out for our welfare. Anything they do is to benefit us, to help us. And that is the point of being in the Vaishnava Association, nothing else. All these things, even though it's painful, it helps us grow and learn. And also we can see how, from Indra, that along with big responsibility and position, you know, comes this kind of responsibility. When you're in a big position, we actually become more responsible. Prabhupada explains how just like a policeman, if somebody steals, that's one thing. If a police steals, then he's punished more. So similarly, when we're in a big position, when Krishna, then everybody like notices. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Vaishnavera alpachidra sarvaloka gai. Whatever activity a saintly person is doing, even a small dot, then it's magnified. The whole world just focuses on that. And the beautiful thing is, Indra, being so intelligent, could immediately recognize that he actually offended his spiritual master. Many times, you know, we step on other people's toes and we are so insensitive and we don't even notice it. But Indra just didn't give respect to his spiritual master, and the spiritual master was offended and left the assembly. But Indra immediately figured out, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. And immediately Indra started doing something about it. Like they say, never ruin an apology with a good excuse. You know? So Indra wanted to do something about it and beg forgiveness and rectify the situation. And still he suffered so much because he was already done. The offense was already committed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that this verse, Trinad api sunichena taror api sahisnuna amanina manadena kirtanya sadahar. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains how this verse, Trinapi Sunichena, means one should be more tolerant than a tree, humbler than a blade of grass. Devoid of all sense of false prestige, we should always offer respects to others. And in that state of mind, we can chant Hare Krishna mantra. Otherwise, it's not possible. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, we should wear this verse as a necklace. And always remember this. This is the guiding principle. Without this, we cannot go to the eighth verse of the Sikshashtaka, where we're being unconditional servant of Krishna and he can do whatever he pleases with us. We cannot get to that stage. So Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita are full of instructions how to deal with other Vaishnavas, other spiritual people. It's so important. It's not a detail. It's actually a must. It's actually the principle. It's the substance. Vaishnava etiquette is not a detail. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very nice pastime where this disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatan Goswami, he goes through so much difficulty. He was actually a very learned person. He spoke like six languages And he was actually like a minister in a very responsible position, was born in a very high-class Brahmin family. Very, very, you know, special person. But when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he realized, what's the use of all these things? He actually presented himself to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. People call me a pundit, but I don't even know who I am. People call me a learned scholar, but what's the use? I don't even know who I am, why I'm suffering in this world, where I'm going. I have no clue. Why do people call me a scholar just because I have some academic qualification? So when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to renounce everything and go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and just serve him personally. So he went through so many difficulties to escape his responsibilities and go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the way, he was traveling through like jungles to avoid the, you know, the Muslim government trying to capture him and bring him back to his work. On the way, he drank some contaminated water and developed this, skin disease. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when every time he saw Sanatana Goswami, he would embrace him to his full satisfaction with his long arms. And Sanatana Goswami is thinking like, how unfortunate I am. I wanted to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I gave up everything and come here. But all I'm doing is disservice. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body is getting filled with this, my pus from my infection. So what's the use? So he was actually very sorry and he was discussing this with a devotee called Jagadananda Pandit. And Jagadananda Pandit was much junior to Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami said to Jagadananda Pandit, you know, this is my unfortunate situation. I don't know what to do. And Jagadananda Pandit said, Mahaprabhu already gave you instruction that you should go to Vrindavan and write books. Why are you wasting time here? Just go. And the next morning, Sanatana Goswami was actually happy. He went to Mahaprabhu to beg his permission to leave. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, where are you going? Said, you know, all I'm causing is disturbance. And Jagadananda Pandit rightly advised that I go to Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu couldn't stand that. He was so furious. He said, that impudent Jaga, you, Sanatana Goswami, you're fit to be my spiritual master. But this Jagadananda Pandit has the audacity to advise you to leave Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very upset. And he wanted to chastise Jagadananda Pandit. Just over like, you know, slight breach of etiquette. Same thing, there was this great scholar called Devananda Pandit. He was very, very famous for his Bhagavatam recitations in the village. And everybody would go to him and he was such a special speaker, the way he would speak, you know, would capture everybody's attention. But then one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principal associates, Srivas, was in the Bhagavat Katha and he went into ecstasy, he fainted during the class. And the disciples of Devananda Pandit thought this person is just a disturbance, is causing disturbance. So they picked him up and, you know, threw him out of the assembly. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about it, he was running after Devananda Pandit saying, Devananda Pandit, I'll shred your Bhagavatam to pieces. What's the use of your Bhagavatam recitation without even knowing the exalted personality, Srivas Thakur? This way, so many instances. This is very important actually to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Many times we have this excuse, oh, I'm not supposed to read Chaitanya Charitamrita until I finish Bhagavatam. We used to like an excuse not to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Chaitanya Charitamrita was actually distributed in the streets. Prabhupada distributed them even before Bhagavatam was complete. So it's very important to read Chaitanya Charitamrita so we can learn all the subtleties. In the pastimes of Roma Harshana, Roma Harshan Sutta, He was actually elected by all the sages and saints to be the speaker of the Bhagavatam. And Balaram entered the assembly hall where they were reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And Ramaharshan Sutta didn't acknowledge Balaram's presence. All he did was he just continued speaking. And Balaram took that as a sign of hypocrisy. Balaram was totally offended. And Balaram, out of his mercy, he wanted to show Ramaharshan Sutta and also the Vaishnavas all time to come how to behave, how to have Vaishnava etiquette. So Balaram became so upset and he condemned Ramaharshan Sutta, saying, like, what's the use of you being the disciple of Vyasadev? What's the use of you being so learned in the Vedas and speaking so nicely, but you're not following what have you learned from reading all these books? So Balaram was so furious, he picked up a piece of grass and ended his life just for that. For us, we may think like it's so insignificant. For Krishna, it means something, so much so that, you know, he ended the life of Ramaharshan Sutta. Of course, he wanted to bring him back, but that's another story. And same thing when Narada in the Krishna book, we're reading how when Narada Muni came to the palace of Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna came off his throne and put Narada Muni on the throne and washed the feet of Narada Muni and took such a humble position. And Narada Muni knew very well this is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he didn't object, because Narada Muni knew that Krishna is setting an example for all time to come. But Krishna was thinking, here I am, you know, I'm a king, I'm a kshatriya, and I'm, you know, grihastha. Narada Muni is a brahmachari, he's a saintly person, he's a brahmana, so he wanted to set the example. It's amazing. And same thing when this Sudama Vipra came to see Krishna. It's explained, Sudama Vipra brought the best he could bring to Krishna, which was some chipped rice or tied in an old cloth that was begged from the neighborhood. He was so poor. He didn't even have like change of cloth or next meal. But same thing, Krishna accepted that chipped rice with so much affection and enthusiasm and worshipped him as well, being a saintly person and a brahmana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is doing that. What is that sacrifice Yudhishthira Maharaj arranged? Rajasuya sacrifice. Maharaj Yudhishthira arranged for the Rajasuya sacrifice to prove how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Krishna takes the position of washing the feet of all the guests that are coming to the Rajasuya sacrifice. That's the position Krishna took. This another amazing pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada often quotes, is that the pastime with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Govinda, his assistant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after every meal, he would take rest and Govinda would go and massage him. So one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his meal and went inside the Gambhira and lied down and he went to sleep. He was so tired. And the etiquette is, if somebody is lying down, you don't jump over them. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so tall, he was practically covering the whole room. And Govinda, the only way he can go to the other side and massage him is to jump over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he did that. He jumped on the other side and went and massaged him. And after finishing massage, he just waited there for like hours. He didn't even go to take prasadam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu woke up and said, Govinda, why are you still here? Why are you not gone to eat? Govinda said, I didn't want it to jump over you. And Mahaprabhu said, but you jumped over me to come inside the room. And Govinda said, I came jumping inside because I wanted to serve you. But now, if I go out of the room, jumping over your body, that means it's for my sense gratification. So I didn't want to do that. So Govinda just waited there till Mahaprabhu, you know, woke up. So it's very hard to understand these things because, you know, we come from a background of like, you know, there's no right or wrong. Everyone is equal, you know, anything goes, do whatever you like. I was shocked when I was first going to school in New Zealand. In India, the teachers would beat you like anything. You know, even if a stranger sees you misbehaving, and if you're not appropriate age, even though they're stranger, they'll come and chastise you. And you have to accept that because they're senior. But in New Zealand, all my friends were, you know, borrowing cigarettes from the professor. I was like, amazed, how is this possible? You know? And they told me not to call him sir. Just called by the name, you know. So these things were like shocking, but it was very comfortable. Wow, you know, what a relief. I had to worry about all this etiquette and culture and all these things, you know. And I was always asking, is it okay to do this or is it okay to do that? They told me, do whatever you like, man. Do whatever you like, you know. Have fun, you know. So it's hard for us to come from that kind of background. And all of a sudden to hear all this deep, lofty philosophy of etiquette and culture and all these things. But it's very, very important. It's important. Krishna sees this important. It's important for Krishna that we develop all these good qualities. Krishna does not want us to go to hell in the name of being like a cool devotee or a special devotee or a charismatic devotee. But for Krishna, it's more important for him that we are humble and learn all these basic qualities of the spiritual world. It's like in one morning walk conversation, Shyam Sundar Prabhu is saying to Prabhupada like how he wants to make millions of dollars for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada immediately says, for me, I'm more concerned about your spiritual life. I don't want you to go to hell in the process of making millions of dollars. The Prabhupada immediately said that. It was not attached. So it's so important. Without the Vaishnava etiquette, at least we're not there. At least we want to get there. That's what it is. We have to aspire to this, come to these standards. Definitely we're not there yet. Without coming to that standard of Vaishnava etiquette, everything else we do, it seems so like artificial and superficial. It's like meaningless. The other day, Saturday, I was set up a book table in Artesia, and there's this one crazy guy, you know, funny, but nice guy, but he hardly spoke any English. He's running up and down, catching all my customers and handing them out like some flyers. And the flyer is like a, you know, invitation to this computer school where they train you how to do programming and stuff. And this guy is, you know, he doesn't know anything about computer. He cannot even say computer. He says computer, computer. Anybody asks, what is this? A computer, computer. That's all he says. But he's so enthusiastic running up and down handing out these things. So me and Madhukiran, we were laughing, like thinking like, I was thinking, my spiritual life is like this guy, you know, trying to distribute computers. Here I am in the table. Me distributing the books of, you know, exalted spirituality is like this guy, you know, running around talking about computer, even though he doesn't know anything about computer. So without Vaishnava etiquette, you know, it just seems like this guy, you know. It's useless. Whatever we say doesn't have any value, any impact, at least in Krishna's estimation. And this chapter, that's all it's focused on. It's talking about two main things, the danger of pride and the danger of being familiar. These things can actually destroy our spiritual lives. Brihaspati was coming on a regular basis to Indra's court. So Indra became like familiar, you know. What's this, you know, he comes all the time, so what, you know. It's just another day is here. That's what it says, when you're so close to a mountain, you cannot actually see the peak. You only see the rock that's next to you. Similarly, when we're so close to exalted personalities, we take him granted, you know, just another day, this guy, you know, I've seen him all the time. And, you know, he has his defects and he has his shortcomings. I know him and make fun of him, you know. But that's like suicidal to spiritual life. The Prabhupada says, if we are not afraid of Maya, that means we are already in Maya. I mean, offense to other devotees means that we've already, you know, like we've already fallen. It's not like we're going to fall. That means we've already fallen. So it's very important to learn these things by studying carefully these books. Because at the end of the day, we want to please Krishna. Prabhupada says we shouldn't be like half hen philosophy, you know. The hen, the farmer thought, like the hen, you know, the backside gives like eggs, so I'll keep that, and the mouth is expensive, I have to feed it, you know, so I'll cut the neck. And as soon as you cut the neck, then the hen is finished. Similarly, we shouldn't be selective about what we like to hear and avoid all the things that's not convenient. So this were some of my humble thoughts and realizations. So if any of our senior devotees or have anything to add, or any of you have any questions or comments. Yes, Ganesh.
What are some practical activities, demonstrations that each devotee can practice on a daily basis to solidify their imbibing Vaishnava etiquette?
I think they should go on Harinam with you. Yeah, this practical Prabhupada, that's what it is. Prabhupada has given us, like we call it ISKCON sandwich. Morning program is like a toast, evening program is like a toast. During the daytime, it's like the filling in between the toast. You're actively engaged in propagating Krishna consciousness. So the practical things are, you know, Prabhupada made it very easy. To chant with the mood of Amanina Manadena and read the books. So, you know, without reading the books, we have no clue of what's what. We just remain a nice neophyte. But by reading the books, it trains us very nicely. Achyuta Prabhu will elaborate.
As you said, we're learning from Indra what not to do. So if you just learn that. His big mistake was not honoring a spiritual master. So don't make that mistake. If your spiritual master comes in, as we're all trained, you pay your obeisances. That's very practical. If you stop doing that, then you're like you said, you're not going to fall. You're already fallen. So there are, the books are, and Prabhupada's personal association gave us very practical, detailed, step-by-step things to do and what not to do. So. I mean, there's no question of not knowing. It's all there. And if you're still not sure, then ask a senior person and they'll be very happy to give you a list of things to do and not to do.
It's a good chapter for me. My spiritual master is coming today.
Yeah, thank you for a very nice class. What came to my mind was that many years ago, there's a story that Giriraj Maharaj gave where he called him in at midnight. He was sleeping and they woke him up very fervently. It's, hurry up, Prabhupada wants you to come in his room. So he came into the room and Prabhupada asked him the question, well, how will this movement go on? How will this society go on? And Giriraj Maharaj said, you know, Prabhupada, by book distribution, Harinam. And Prabhupada shot back, said, no, it'll only go on by organization and cooperation. So if you take those things that it is applicable to what you're saying, if you think of an organization, if you know a little bit about an organization, they have a hierarchy. There's things that are in place. There's things that you do out of common etiquette, and because it's a part of the organization, this organization means there's set times, there's set things that you do, and then cooperation means that you cooperate with that organization. So just what you brought up is part of the organization of Krishna consciousness, and it behooves us as devotees to cooperate with those particular items. So coming from Srila Prabhupada, you know, it's something that we should really consider. We do have a hierarchy in ISKCON. We have the GBC. We should cooperate with the organization. And if we do that, then we'll see the society will go on. Otherwise, things that you said, if we don't follow the organization, then there'll be so much useless chatter and speculation and ideas. And this will actually disintegrate Krishna consciousness, just like the demigods, they lost their whole kingdom. They were defeated just because of that not understanding of course, of Indra and all his followers, even for that matter, because everyone had to suffer the price.
Thank you. Sai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.